Welcome to No Shame in the Home Game, the podcast that cares how your home feels, not looks. I am Lacey, your grumpy co-host today, with the ray of sunshine that I have a feeling is going to make me feel better. Sarah, my other co-host. Hi.
Hi, Lacey. It's okay if you're grumpy today, and I don't have to make you feel better, because we all get there when it's the right time, and it's all up and down, and you just let it come, and you let it go. And you ride the wave.
Heck yeah. And I am saying that I'm grumpy because I feel like whenever people are like, how are you? I'm good. How are you? I'm good. And so me, a person that people often think is like Captain Positive over here, I get grumpy too. And I'm grumpy right now. But you know who doesn't make me grumpy? Tyra. We're doing episode 2 of Tyra today. And she makes me not grumpy.
I could use a little bit of Tyra in every day of my life. Even I feel like grumpy Tyra, it would still be
magic. I mean, she's magic.
And again, I can't say it enough how thankful I am that our participants come on and share what's going on. Tyra really did some emotional digging to make progress in her home, and just so much appreciation that she was vulnerable and open and shared. Like you were saying at the beginning, you're sharing that you're grumpy because that's part of life. Tyra shared the parts that weren't working, and that's how we're going to help other people. So all the thanks to Tyra to showing up as it is. And that's how we're going to help each other, is just admitting when the days are tough.
Yeah, because when we can admit the days are tough, that's when we can go into our joyful support steps of recognizing the good, talking about it, and then taking steps forward. A little plug for our joyful support class. I don't want to delay it any longer. We're going to go ahead and jump right in and do Tyra part 2. We are back with participant Tyra. And as usual, I'm going to throw it over to Sarah because she knows what's going on.
Welcome back. This is episode 2 with Tyra. And I was going to say Miss Tyra. I don't know why I felt like saying Miss Tyra.
Do you know people actually call me that?
Do they really?
Seriously, yeah. A lot of children used to call me Miss Tyra. And at the nonprofit where I teach, they call me Miss Tyra. So you were picking up on it.
I just felt it. So episode 2, the first episode when we met you, we talked about what in your home wasn't feeling great. And we talked about everything that had led up to then and what we wanted to do moving forward. And what I really enjoyed, Tyra, was that you took a lot of time to do back and forth with me between episodes, because this is a process. It's a journey. We know where we want to go, but how we're going to get there, it really takes a back and forth. And so many of my clients, I have to convince them, no, tell me when things aren't working, because that means we need to change course. But oftentimes clients will feel bad. And I'm like, no, it just means we need a different tactic. And you were so open about what wasn't working, which was wonderful. So the perception I got was when we left off of episode 1, we were looking at your whole house and really tackling your whole house, because it was on a journey for 20 years with, or 20 plus years, homeschooling your kids. Now the kids are older, you're at a very different chapter in your life. And it felt pretty immediate that didn't feel good. It felt like too much. And what I heard was, I'm pretty much going to shut down because I don't like this, which was a tool that I talk about, is the zoom in, zoom out. And we zoomed way too far out and we needed to zoom in. And I suggested that we focus on your office. What do you call your office? You had a term for it.
Mama's room.
Mama's room. Yes, that's why I wanted to call you Miss Tyra.
Mama's room.
So we shifted focus to Mama's room. And then you said up on that second floor where Mama's room is also one of your kids' room. And so reframing into just thinking about the top floor. And I really encouraged you to focus in on that vision board, which you so beautifully created. Tell the audience whatever you want to share about that vision board. What did it feel like doing it? What do you have on there? How is it helping you? I want to hear all about the vision board.
Oh, yes. Okay. So I love Canva. So to create a vision board on Canva was so fun. And one of the things I thought about as I created it was, what is the feel of, what do I want my house to be about? What do I want to focus on? And family is at the top of that. And so I put a picture of my family from my older son's graduation from the Coast Guard Academy. And then I put, for me right now, a lesson from my mother was, clean as you go, Tyra, clean as you go. She was so neat and I was not. But that has just stuck with me. My mom died when I was 27. And it's like little nuggets like that mean the world to me. And so there was something that I put on my vision board that said, clean as you go, because that's what I want everyone in my house to do. So I'm hoping that will invoke that in the house. And then I chose other pictures that have the feel of what I want. They may not look exactly like what I want, but they have the feel of it. I like natural elements. There was one picture I put on there. I've always wanted, I don't know if it's really a sunroom where all I do is just go there and study or do something fun. Even though I have mama's room, it is still like I work here, I exercise here. It's an all-purpose room. It's not always about relaxing. So I had a picture on there that was more of, I just want this place in my house where I can have fun, be creative, relax, and just do nothing.
I just say I have the same dream. And it's also because I want to be like a cat curled up in a sunbeam reading a book. So I just, as soon as you said it, I'm like, oh, I know exactly. Yes, I agree.
We're vibing, Lacey. And then just, I'm a minimalist. I'm accepting that I'll probably never have an ornate, beautiful home, even though when I go to other people's homes and just all the style and the pizzazz. So just pictures that are goals for me, because I do feel like I have too much stuff. A lot of my pictures were more like open. So I loved creating it. I love looking at it. It makes me happy. Just like you said, it's a way for me to move my mind from walking in the house just being like, oh my gosh, I'm back here and it's just a mess and it's never going to get cleaned up, to, you know what? I have something else I can think about for my homes.
And it's so great because it creates direction and focus. Like you said, when you walk into the house and you feel that overwhelm, I mean, we have to remember you had 20 years of really focusing on teaching your children, raising your children, juggling a lot. And so you're really looking at history when you walk in. And the vision board is really your future. And right now you're at that line, that intersection, and it's a tension point of walking into your past, desiring your future, right? And the vision board reminds us of, I always say it's the fuel. Mm. Why are we spending 5-10 minutes every day? Why are we doing this? I love the analogy of when people talk about making sure you have purpose and direction and intent. It's like going into a restaurant when you're hungry and saying to the waiter, I want food. And it's like, well, that's not really going to get you where you want to go very quickly. So this is creating, okay, this is the direction I'm going in. And sure, it's not a magic wand, although it'd be great if it was.
Oh, yes.
But it's reminding you. And then to take that step of focusing on that top floor, which is really two rooms, correct?
Mm-hmm.
The two rooms. Then, so creating that vision and creating it more doable, I think that felt more doable. Like I can focus on the office, which you've already claimed, and you can maximize. And I even talked about just a corner of your desk, just your pencil cup. Just pick one small area in your office and align it with that vision board.
Mm.
And then it can't help but overflow, because when you see that little corner, it feels good. And you can see clearly the decisions that have to be made, right? So when you're trying to do the whole house, I think we just crumble under the decision fatigue. But when you've already claimed your office and then you've got this vision board and then you're trying to line them up, right? There's fewer steps. You're like, oh, it's just that this needs to be adjusted. This needs to be removed. So does that feels doable? You're shaking your head. So I feel like we're talking the same language, right?
Definitely. Yeah. And when you told me, hey, because even the box got overwhelming and you were like, okay, let's just focus on one small little corner of your desk. I was like, oh my gosh, that is so doable. 5 minutes, Tyra, 5 minutes. And I was like, I have 5 minutes. I definitely could take 5 minutes to do this and not feel like what you talked about, that overwhelm. And aligning it with the vision board, that is ingenious. So yes, we are definitely aligned. That actually, between the vision board and you saying, just focus on a small corner on your desk, it pretty much shifted everything for me. It just took all the load off. And honestly, Sarah, when I walk in, I'm not just completely and totally frustrated anymore. Because now, like what you said, the other thing that I do is, you know what, 5 minutes. Okay, if I walk in and whatever I can actually take control of, let me just work on that for 5 minutes. And I feel so accomplished. So you're good.
Beautiful. Oh, thank you. It comes from years of myself feeling overwhelmed. And I love manuals. I always joke, I want life to have a user manual. And so I always felt like there's got to be a solution. So it was me just trying things on all the time and then working with clients. And it's that thing of, it's not one size fits all. You need to meet people where they are, what their goal is, and what their resources are. And so I came up with a plan with you, and I perceived like where you were. I just perceived it incorrectly, and that's why it fell flat. And it's okay. That's fine. Like I heard this gung-ho, like I'm ready to take on the world. And you probably were, but then it immediately was like, no, I think I'm just going to pull a blanket up and not do any of this. And it's, no, there's definitely 1,000 options in between like surrender and like conquer the world. And that's one of the best books I talk about all the time is called Tiny Habits. Mm. And it's all about starting small. When your motivation monkey is huge, that's often when you don't meet your goals. And you've done personal training. That person who's never walked before says, I'm going to run a marathon in 3 months. Maybe, but maybe a half marathon in 6 months is more reasonable to integrate into your life. So I love this. And when I heard you talking, I wrote down a note. I heard when you were talking about that space, like your office is for working and exercise, but you want that space for like joy. What I'm hearing is you're at that stage in your life where I've got these other facets that have just been on the back burner. And it's like, let those come forward. And I really see optimizing that top floor of your house to be that. And then once that's optimized, it'll naturally ripple over into the first floor. Mm. It will just, there'll be such a disconnect between the two floors that as long as you throw your elbows up and say, I'm not letting the first floor affect the second floor and it's the other way around, then it'll naturally just, it'll just start. It'll be so you won't even have to think about it because you've gotten the second floor where you want it.
Yeah.
And tell me about, so the 5 minutes felt doable, the vision board felt motivational. Can you give me an example of how you're integrating this into your life and if it's feeling more effortless as you're doing it?
You know that I did get a little bit sidetracked because of COVID coming in. And it really just, everything just went in disarray. I was like, oh my gosh. By the time I got on the other side, I was like, Sarah would be like, what are we doing, Tyra? But then I just remembered 5 minutes, 5 minutes. And so making sure that I keep the vision high, the vision board and the feel of the vision board. For me, that's what the vision board is so much about. How am I feeling? Is the feeling that I have aligning with this vision board? Or the vision board actually is the reminder, because I can have that now, even in the midst of things not being exactly how I want them to be. What I have been doing is a habit that I have from previous times that I've worked to be more orderly and have routines is have a timer set for when I need to clean or take a moment to clean up. And so that's one of the things I've been doing. It's just stop right now. We're just getting ready to clean for just a few minutes and then you can just stop. And it makes me feel successful. And it makes the room look better. And let me see, is there anything else? I think that's it. It's just incorporating it bit by bit, day by day. And it's interesting because I think I did come on the last time super gung-ho and so ready for it, but I didn't even see it as off the plan that we had. I saw it as, well, just so grateful. The biggest thing that has come through for me is the importance of getting support, because I was gung-ho, but because I had you to leave a message like, oh, this is not working and I don't even know what box to start with, I was able to leave you a message, and that's when we came up with the new plan. And I was like, that's really what I needed. Just somebody to say, hey, I'm on the outside looking in, I'm more objective, and let's just try a new plan. So having the new plan, and one last thing I'll put in there is also interesting, is I started saying one little basket at a time. I went under, there's these little baskets that are under my son's bed. And so I would pull the basket out. And one day, I think I went to three. It was just one. And then I did three. So overall, the take it bit by bit plan every day is working for me.
That's great. And I just wanted to share that because everybody operates uniquely. And so hearing ideas of, oh, maybe if I set a timer at 12, or maybe if I set a timer, and seeing what works best for you. And I love that one basket. And then one day you did three. And that's the whole thing with the tiny habits, is it's all about just integrating that baseline. He talks about, if you want to have a goal of 100 push-up, the first goal is just to have a place, and then just to get in that start position. Mm. And he's like, if that's all you ever do, that's fine. But if the one day you do one push-up, that's great. But just keep showing up. It's that muscle memory of just, this is what we're doing. And I do want to distinguish, when you're taking those 5 minutes in your office, there is a difference between resetting what you already have and making choices to move your office closer to your vision. So making sure you're intentional about, okay, am I just putting these items back where they belong? Or am I in the mindset of, does this item line up with what I want this to feel like in here? Does that make sense? Those two different categories?
Oh, I love having those two different categories. Yes, that's actually something I would like to get into my muscle memory and just make a part of a natural way of thinking about when I am cleaning. Yeah, that intentionality. I think you even mentioned that the last time, something about being intentional. And that really resonates for me.
I just see it as being in a different part of your brain. And I usually don't say cleaning, if we're just talking about picking up or resetting, is just taking an object and putting it back where it belongs, versus cleaning is dusting, vacuuming, wiping.
Okay.
So if you're picking up, you're in the part of your brain, where does this belong? But if you want to change something to be in line with your vision board, you need to go to a different part of your brain of, is this part of my vision? It's like you're standing in a different room in your brain of how you're making these choices. And I like to remind people to make the choices as simple as possible.
If you love No Shame in the Home Game, we want to hear about it. Take a few moments today and give us a 5-star review on your podcasting platform of choice. This helps others find the show so we can help everyone feel good in their home.
So when you're in your son's room and you're going through a basket, first tell me how you're doing. How are you going through it? What does that process look like?
First of all, I'm taking a deep breath and setting the intention that I will get rid of as much stuff as possible. I will not come up with a reason to keep anything that I know for a fact that my sons do not. They're not going to use again. They're not going to want long term. And the other part of me thinks, before I even get started, how excited I am, how I know I'm going to feel lighter after this. I'm going to feel happy. And so no matter how painful it feels to go through the basket, and the pain actually is not sadness around stuff, because I have realized I can get rid of some stuff. The pain is, oh my gosh, I just don't want to do this. I go into the negative mindset part. Why did we do all of this? Why didn't I clean this sooner? And then once I start, I do think about, okay, where does this go? Is this going to be something we're keeping? Or is this something that needs to go into the trash? Or do I need to take it and donate it? And definitely have the boxes for donation for those. And I created a little trash pile for everything that's going to be thrown away. And then there's a place for me to put. I decided I'm going to keep a box, a keepsake box for each child. I probably have a makeshift one for each one, but now I'm dedicating these boxes. It won't be a lot, but I'm going to create these boxes. That way, if there's something I think they may want, it goes into that box. And then, yeah, once I get done, I do a little dance afterwards.
I love that you do a little dance because you're doing work. Reward yourself with that happy energy, whatever that looks like. Oh, I love your happy little dance. And I like that your decisions are trash pile, donation box, keepsake box. Yes. And I often tell people, limit it down to two or three choices on a decision tree.
Okay.
And if somebody's listening, another option is absolute yes, keep, absolute no, and maybe. And then later, you can go to that no pile and go trash or donate. So it's just another way of doing the same thing. But if this is working for you, keep doing this.
Oh, I love what you're saying.
Sometimes we, because what is with the decision fatigue, I always think about when people go through their closets. Oh, does it still fit? Will I ever wear this again? Oh, will so-and-so want that? You're asking too many questions. You take everything out. You go, absolute yes. If I'm packing a week-long vacation, these are the items that are absolutely yes coming with. And then you pick out your absolute no's. Mm-hmm. I've never worn it. I've never liked it. I want to get rid of it. I hate the way it feels. It's scratchy. Absolute no's. And then you're left with your maybes. And then that's when you come up with a new set of decisions, right? And then when you're all done, you go to the no's. Are these worth donating? Where am I going to donate it? But if you take each item and you go down that rabbit hole of, can I donate this? Which donation place? What time are they open? When am I going to drive? That's what burns you out. But it sounds like you have a good rhythm, and I love that you do the dance afterwards. I want to see the dance. I saw you kind of chair dance there, but I'm like, oh, yes. We need to celebrate. You are doing this work for you, right? Mm. And I think that's why the whole house felt like too much, because those messages of why am I doing this? Nobody cares, right? Whereas when you're doing the top floor, this is for you and your space. And we can tackle that shared space at another day and time. And so doing that dance, it's I'm making myself a priority. I'm choosing what my next chapter looks like.
Ooh.
I'm creating that space for me to relax and enjoy. And it's for you, right? And you're smiling and I love it. And that's your fuel. And I do want to address, I love that you already dissected the painful part of the process. And you were very clear, it's not sadness. And I like that you already know that. And I hear you and I recognize why those thoughts would come up. And I think it's just taking that moment to honor. It got like this because you had a lot going on. You were raising your boys. You were teaching your boys. You were working. You were taking them. You told me about all these events you were taking them to. It got like that because that's what life was in the past. And it's okay. And guilt and shame actually does nothing to move us forward to the vision board. It actually holds us back. Which I'm not telling anyone that their shame and upsetness feelings don't matter. They do. It's just that they're not going to help us go forward.
Yeah.
It's like when you're going, I always use analogies, if you're driving from point A to point B and it's a very long road trip and you end up taking the wrong highway, I mean, how long are you going to sit on the side of the road and kick yourself for losing an hour out of your drive? Do it as long as you want, but it's not getting you any closer to your destination.
That is a good analogy.
And it's up to you. It's your choice. And that's why I'm always very adamant when I work with people. I'm never telling you how to do it or what to do. But if that is your goal, that vision board, then feeling bad about something, just honor it. And you're at this point. We mentioned our coach, how Lacey and I met, Adriana. She taught us this system called human design. And I had so many epiphanies. And I told her at one point, I said, I am actually mad that I didn't know about this earlier in my life. I said, I have been through so much struggle and pain and being mad at myself. And I'm like, how much of that could have been alleviated? And she said, I hear you, but honor the fact that now you really notice the difference and it's going to really feel like a big change for you and that this was just the path of your life.
Yeah.
And so thinking about you and these feelings, it's like honor this journey and know that now you have these tools. You can help other people who are going through the same thing. You work with clients. You have coaching clients, right?
Mm-hmm. And just say really quickly, I never even thought about too sharing this with homeschool moms, you know, sort of as my little volunteer service, because there's been no one to talk to me about what it means to be a retired homeschool mom. I think we're new. And even the ones who came before us, they didn't have social media. And I'm just not plugged into that group. I wasn't raised up like this. And I have made videos to say, these are the things you want to think about after you finish. It's a very big shift and change. So I've never thought about that. I'm going to make sure I do that. And the other thing that you're reminding me of is how little, and it's probably not just homeschool moms. I would say parenting in general can bring this up. It's almost like a thankless job. I'm not saying it is definitely thankless, but when people retire from these corporate companies or just wherever they're retiring from, there's a retirement party, there's certificates, and I just never have gotten that. My kudos has been seeing my children thrive as young adults. And so I don't have, it was so helpful for me to hear you say things like that. Why do you have all this? Because you were busy. You were homeschooling. You were doing the best you could. If I can't even begin to explain like how much that touches my heart. I really appreciate you, Sarah. Thank you.
Tyra, it makes, first of all, choked up over here. But it's really funny that you say that because I learned as a new mom that reaching the first birthday was for me. It was not for the kid. So now anytime I'm invited to a first birthday party, I get mom and or dad or whoever a gift card of you celebrate you because you made it through this first year and it was tough and it was a big change for you, but you did it. And now I'm like, okay, if somebody moves out or graduation, I'm going to give a gift to the parent and be like, get yourself some champagne or sparkling grape juice, whatever your celebratory thing is, because you're right. The parent puts so much work and love and effort and all of these things into getting their child there. And yes, it's their lives, they're making it forward, but I think both deserve the recognition.
Thank you, Lacey. I feel so seen.
And I love that we're tapping into this because it goes back to the whole reason we're doing this show is if you feel better in your home, that's what you take out into the world. And we talk about that ripple of joy. And I said something about 10%, making a 10% change. And Lacey's like, no, it just has to be 2%. I think it was
1% or 2%. 1%. I think I said 1%.
1% or 2%. So if you feel 1% better about why you're where you are and everything you did, and then you share that with some homeschool teachers, hey, thank you for what you're doing. I know it's a thankless job. You're then rippling out that appreciation and validation.
Wow.
And then they're going to take that forward in their journey. And to me, that's the whole point of this. And I agree with you. I think there are so many thankless jobs, especially as women. And that's the lens I'm seeing it through because I am a mom, a working mom. And so I'm very firsthand with that as well. Funny side story. I started walking around my house talking in the third person because I needed to hear thank you for things that were thankless. And so I will say, hey, mom, thanks for reminding me to take my medicine today. I love that you're so concerned about my well-being all the time. That really is awesome. I do it as a joke, but I'm validating myself. And my family laughs, and then they realize that they need to validate. So two things that I'm going to propose to you, if it feels good, is one, take yourself out for a celebration lunch or a celebration walk with a friend and just say, my intention for this is to celebrate all of my hard work. You can do it by yourself or with a friend, but you set the intention. I actually want to brag about everything I did, and I will pay for your lunch if you sit there and nod your head and clap for me.
Wow. I'm tearing up just hearing that because I need it.
Or write yourself a letter. It doesn't have to be a one-time thing. Oh, I'm just going to give you a moment.
I'm listening. I just actually had this conversation with myself today. Like, Tyra, you need to take some time to really honor what you've done. I just feel like this 20 plus years of investing in my children so in depth, where my identity was so tied to mothering. And just to a certain degree, I feel a little silly, but I'm not going to sit on the side of the road talking about what hasn't happened or whatever. But I feel a little silly that I'm this many years out. It's been about 2.5 years, and I'm still like, why do I not feel like the loop hasn't been closed? And maybe even going out with somebody and saying, I need you to listen and celebrate with me, which that would be very easy. I have so many people who love me and support me in everything that I've done. So I know I can do that. And also, I'm going to link this to the getting rid of everything. I need to close it out. Maybe that's why the loop is still open, is all the evidence is still here of all that I did with my children for so long. But yeah, again, I just have to say this for people who are listening. It's so important to get support, because when we have people on the outside, you all are able to see what I haven't been able to see. Lacey, I don't even know how I didn't come up with that idea. I'm going to use your idea also for the new parents and the retiring parents, because it's just something that is just so key and necessary. But moving forward, definitely. One of the things I do want to just say, I did go and buy myself a membership at this place called Hot Works, because I love heat. I love the sauna. And so that was one of the things I was like, I didn't used to be able to do this, just pick up and go work out whenever I want. So I bought a new membership yesterday at Hot Works. But I need somebody to talk to. I need to hear it. I need to see it celebrated or something, because the loop is not closed. Thank you for that.
You're welcome. And that makes so much sense. The items were sort of an evidence how much you did. And by getting it out of the house, you're sort of wiping the slate clean, but you want to be doing it in a positive way, not an unpositive, I don't want to say negative way, but like you want it to feel, yes, I like that. And ritual is so important. I used to do papers on ritual and why they're important and how our society doesn't have them. And having a ritual, sorry, I get so many thoughts at once. So having a ritual around closing the loop that feels good to you and celebrating yourself. That is one thing I tell all the women I know. Celebrate your own birthday. Don't you dare wait for anyone to buy you flowers or jewelry. You celebrate your own birthday.
Yeah.
Because that's what it is. And so just like with your teaching career, celebrating that, coming up with some kind of ritual that feels good to you. And then the next step, as Lacey was demonstrating, is then honoring other teaching parents. And that's how it's going to embed in you, is when you ripple it forward and you say, end of the school year, hey, all you stay-at-home teachers, celebrate yourself today. Take yourself out for a cup of tea. Do something. Buy yourself some flowers. You got through another year. And then really start a conversation. What does it look like to close out our careers as teaching parents? What does that look like? And crowdsource ideas and come up with a ritual. That would be beautiful.
And it goes to show, you know, you going back to the 1%. If I feel 1% better, then everything in my life and just how I show up will be 1% better. And this just goes to show how it could look like I'm just sitting in a house that I don't want to purge, but it's now turning into something that has so much more meaning to me, like being able to support other women. homeschooling moms and even just mothers in general, because I just love supporting moms, no matter what our career choices are. It means the world to me. I'm like you. I'm so much about women's empowerment. And now this is an even bigger purpose. I get to not only learn that I need to celebrate myself and how I can now see that me moving things out of my home is my way of tying it all up and closing out the loop. And it truly is at this stage for me, a wiping of the slate has been wiped clean, but it feels like the slate has been wiped clean because there's a part of me that's just been like, I don't even know what to do with myself on a day-to-day basis. But then in a way it's not, because hidden behind the scenes is all this stuff. But yeah, I do want to wipe the slate clean, and it feels safe now. I think even before, because I didn't quite know what it meant to not be a homeschool mom. And now I do have a definite sense of that. I'm so much more used to it now. It now feels safe. I hadn't even thought about that until right now. Maybe I haven't gotten rid of it because it made me feel connected to my children. And I'm ready. I'm ready to go on ahead and just, you know, recognize I still have them, just they're adult. It's shifting. All of that is over. The intense raising of them and educating, all of that is over. And now I can create this room that Lacey and I maybe one day will sit in and just have this great time.
I would love nothing more than that.
Where we're just doing nothing, reading books, sitting with the cats or whatever. Yeah, I can create that and just live out the rest of my life supporting moms. And I even see myself, because I really don't talk about homeschooling anymore. It's just like a whole thing in me. It's in me, but it's ripped away from me. So now it's, oh, I get to do something about something I love. I still love homeschooling so much. And it's, okay, homeschool mom roll call. I need all the homeschool moms to check in on this post. And you are all officially teachers of the year. I used to just pass by the school and think, I'm never given that title, teacher of the year. But I'm going to designate teacher of the year and just do whatever I can to support homeschool moms or retired homeschool moms, wherever they are. I'm excited.
You are speaking to our soul. What you're saying too is like Sarah and I's partnership. I have gotten so much out of it. And I'm like, I want other people to feel this. So to hear that you're like, I'm getting something out of this and I want people to feel this will make me cry, because
that's it, Lacey. Yeah.
Y'all, Home CEO is finally here. The work you hear me do with participants in No Shame in the Home Game is based off of the Home CEO course. Watch the course at your own pace and learn how to problem solve your pain points and find solutions that work for you. Along with the how-to course are guided worksheets. There are solutions for your situation. Sign up for the course at joyfulsupportmovement.com and start finding your solutions today. And this really goes back to what I say a lot. I have a couple broken record sayings, which is the stuff in the house is 50% about the stuff and 50% emotional. And you had a bit of a block with the physical tangible, but you just unlocked that emotional part. Mm-hmm. And I think now that you've opened that up, it's going to feel a lot different. You're going to have a lot more awareness. Like when you said you were going through the bins and you said it was painful, but you were very aware it wasn't sadness. I think this just unlocks a whole nother level of awareness when you're processing items. And going back to that honoring your career as a homeschool teacher is, you're right, you said you don't want to just wipe it away like it didn't exist. Come up with a way, a ritual, come up with some part of that where it is having something, maybe it's a beautiful painting, something that is a token of, I did this for a really big portion of my life. I am proud of it. But having something, a touchstone, so it's not floating in your brain. It's something you can anchor it to. But you can get rid of these items that you don't want in your house, but you still want to honor that chapter in your life. And again, just crowdsourcing with those other homeschool teachers. How do we honor ourselves? How do we appreciate this journey? How do we validate one another? I have to say, I am so intrigued by these subliminal messages we as women get. Why can't we toot our own horns? Why can't we congratulate ourselves? I can't speak for every woman, but I felt this message of, no, you give everything you have until you're bleeding from your knuckles and you don't say boo. In fact, you're going to show up with a smile on your face and whatever's asked of you, you're going to do it and you're never going to complain and you're going to carry it all on your back, but don't hunch over, stand up straight. What is that?
I have no idea, but it's pervasive. It is pervasive amongst women.
Everything you were just saying, I see that as such a female thing. As soon as we go to start to appreciate ourselves, it's, oh no, I'm getting too high on my horse. My britches are getting too big. Oh no, people are going to think I have an inflated ego. No, what about just that healthy satisfaction of I work damn hard? If you run a marathon or a half marathon or a 5K, you get a little ribbon at the end. Like,
true.
Get yourself a ribbon, girlfriend.
I love that. I'm a hypnotherapist. And so there's a lot that we do with, it's called anchoring. Actually, it's an NLP. I'm an NLP practitioner. And I was like, that is freaking ingenious, Sarah, to have something that every time I look at it, zing, I just get to remember all of the beauty, the wonder, and joy of homeschooling without keeping all of the evidence. Oh my gosh, ingenious.
Yes, I like the zing and the dancing, and you're very much in touch with this higher vibration, Tyra. I've heard you say a couple of things of, why does it matter? Why am I doing this? Nobody cares. Your voice changes, your face change, everything about you changes. So just think about all these choices are just moving you up to that higher vibration, that hot room, that dancing, that zing, right? And if something, you pick up an item in your house and it starts to feel like that heavy, that item is not getting you to your zing. Everyone needs to get to their own zing.
Let us, some people get to zen, other people get to zing.
That makes me feel so much better because I'm a zinger. I'm not a zenner. I am a zinger. Like, I can't tell you how many times in my life I've been told, calm down, gives me permission to do that.
Me too, Lacey.
I love it. I feel like this episode and your journey has really turned into a celebration of all we do as moms, as women, as homemakers, and making sure that we are validating ourselves and others. I learned this expression from a women's networking group I'm a part of, which is lift as we rise. So as you rise, you're lifting all those other homeschool teachers that you know about. So it's not just for you. You're actually doing it so everyone else can feel 1% better. I'm so zinged right now that I could go on. So I'm going to pause myself because I feel as though we've gotten to a really good point with you're going to keep doing those 5 minutes.
Yes.
You're going to keep focusing on your vision board. You're going to really think about, are these 5 minutes me resetting it to what it needs to be? Or are these 5 minutes towards making a decision about moving towards the vision?
Yes.
And really minimizing those decisions of trash pile, donation pile, keepsake box. And then taking some time for yourself to come up with a ritual. How do I celebrate and close that loop? There you go dancing again, Tyra.
That's every time you say it, I'm like, yeah. Let's do it.
I am really excited.
I
yes,
have a
Lacey.
Logistical question. With your vision board, you made it in Canva. Where do you see it? Do you have to pull it up? Or so I ask because for our listeners, I think it's digital vision board is what I did as well. And it is now the background of my computer. And my word for the year is joy. So it just says joy really big. So I just wanted to see where yours was. In your house, did you print it off? Did you whatever? Yeah.
Yes. Good question. I actually am using it digitally on my phone. I pull it up on my phone, but I'm actually getting ready to print off my vision board. I do so well with physical copies, both.
Okay. I love making it digitally, but I think a lot of people then don't know what to do with it.
And that's actually, I think, a good point, which is, and I made this point to Tyra on one of our messages, of make sure that when you're looking at that vision board, you're actually looking with intention. Things can become background noise. And so you create it, it gets all that energy. And then if it just becomes part of that background, it's not holding the same power. So if we either like really look at each image and feel it, or if you have that physical copy, tape it up in one place, but then make sure you move it to your vanity or a door. It will keep refreshing. That's what it is. It's like refreshing that vision for yourself and making sure it keeps that.
So I've been working on my office setup. And part of that has been like connecting monitors to this and then projecting it other places. And every time it pops up, I like focus in on another part that I don't always see. So it's so interesting that I have had that intention.
You are aligned.
Oh, I love this. Tyra, do you have any questions that I can help you with going forward? Do you feel like you have a good plan?
I do feel like I have a good plan. I really, what I'm going to focus on is am I resetting or am I actually trying to decide or am I moving in the direction of my vision board? That was so good. So definitely going to focus on that. But yeah, for the most part, I feel like I have my plan.
And you'll come up with some ways to celebrate your teaching career.
Definitely.
And yeah, I am really excited to hear what you come up with.
Yes.
And maybe, yeah, a ritual to share with other homeschooling moms. That is so great that you can be a leader, an example for them. And you can flag those. Oh, beware of keeping all of this or be that guide along the road because you've been there and you've seen it. And
I'm somebody who's really tied to purpose, meaning in a way like things need to be practical. So to have a whole new mission and purpose around, okay, now I understand when we land the homeschooling plane, there may be some unpacking or like what you even mentioned, let the moms know if you can unpack every year at the end of the school year, pass on all your curricula and get rid of the clothes that your children aren't wearing. If I can just give them some encouragement to do that, because I now see if we wait on the back end of it, then it could just feel like a lot. That it just makes me feel so good and so excited. It's not just like what Lacey was saying and what you were saying. It's not just about me. So that has me so excited today.
Thank you for your time. And again, thank yourself for taking this time for you. And please keep staying in touch. Good stuff, things that aren't working out, things we can troubleshoot. And then we will meet again in about 4 weeks.
Okay.
And we'll get to hear how this iteration goes for you.
I look forward to that. Thank you.
Thank you, Tyra. That was our daily dose of Tyra. Again, I hope the listeners resonated with something. Even if you weren't a homeschool teacher, even if you didn't raise 2 kids, even if you're not living in Tennessee, there's always something that we can all reflect on and connect to. I hope you all listening found something about Tyra's story that felt true to you and something that you can take forward. And remember, we're just going for 1%. If you resonate with 1%, then that's where the growth is.
Heck yeah. I want to start with my something grateful, and it is purely stealing Sarah's thunder. Okay. I know we said that we're not doing like why we're grateful for each other, but these are like roundabout things that just made me happy and they're related to you. One is that Sarah put up wallpaper behind her, inspired my peel and stick wallpaper. That is the number one question I get when I make a video. Where'd you get that wallpaper? And it's just peel and stick from Amazon. And it is the joy of my life. It's up and I see it behind you and it looks so good.
Thank you. It was one of those things where, like, when I'm doing it, I started getting really tense about it lining up and not having bubbles. But I don't know if you know this. nothing in life is perfect. And when you step away from it and you just look at the big picture, it's all good. Actually, there's a part of the wall that doesn't have enough because somehow, even though I enjoy math and I think I'm pretty good at math, somehow either math failed me or I failed math and didn't get enough wallpaper.
With these patterns, you have to match things at a certain place. So there is more excess or that is not used, then I think that's one way that you don't necessarily know how to calculate that in.
I was actually so desperate to get the whole wall done that I used all the scraps and just made it look as pretty as possible. And I still didn't have enough. So that was not the problem. And at first I did try to get it to line up. And then after a while, I was just like, whatever. I'm glad you like my wallpaper. And I'll be honest, took all my willpower not to get the same one you have because I love yours so much. And then I just thought, well, that's a little much. But let's also do a plug to support No Shame in the Home game. If you go to Lacey's storefront and purchase the peel and stick wallpaper through Lacey's storefront, it will help support the production costs of No Shame in the Home game, which is real.
It is. Yeah. And we put other products on there too.
Yes.
Did I put my laundry system? Yeah. We put other stuff on there too. So if you're ever curious about a product that we talk about, typically we try to put it somewhere. And the Amazon store is the easiest place for me because we have affiliate links and we get 13 cents, but that is 13 cents more than we had before and we will take it.
Empires are built on 13 cents. Do you remember the movie? And I cannot remember the title, Office Space, the movie. Yes, Office Space. Have you seen that one? Remember they developed that code to skim like 1/100th of a penny off of every ATM transaction? And they don't think it's going to add up as quickly as it does. And then they've got like all this money that they're now sitting on top of. So it adds up.
It does. My other related thing with Sarah is I sent this to her via a message yesterday, but it just makes me so happy because I feel like I've been talking a lot about Iris and what she says and how it's been delightful. Yesterday, I was making dinner in the kitchen and she came in and she brought it's not a Barbie doll. It's like Barbie's little sister, I don't know, Chelsea. Anyway, it was one of those dolls. And she looked at me and she said, Mommy, it's your friend Sarah. And then she said high and low because at dinner we do high and lows. And often Sarah, having a meeting and talking to Sarah, is one of my highs. The joy that brought me, it just made me so happy in so many ways. And I had to tell Sarah right away. And so now I'm telling all of you because I just love how much our kids pick up on and the good parts that they pick up on, and just made me so happy.
Well, and that's the perfect example of the joy ripple.
Yeah.
Like, I had no idea I was somehow influencing your daughter, and then that made you happy, and then it came right back to me. It was like a joy ripple echo effect, and it was beautiful and wonderful, and thank you for sharing that with me. That made my day.
A joy boomerang.
I love that joy boomerang. Yes, that was so sweet. That made my day.
Yeah. And it is thanks to this podcast and our moments of gratitude that I have enforced, and now my kids are really on board with it, that at dinner we do a high and low from our day. And they don't have to have a low, but they always have to find a high. And they sit down and it's a way for us to talk about our day and find out things that happened. And I gotta say, my kids are 3 and 5. So you wouldn't think they would do well. Isaac's a very verbose child, so he does very well at it. And Iris has picked it up and she's getting better at it. And when she doesn't know what to talk about, sometimes she's just, my high was. We're gonna have two little reflective, delightful beings. And yay. More goodness that No Shame in the Home game has brought into my world, personally.
That's beautiful. I like that. That makes me happy.
Yeah.
So my gratitude, yes, one, the wallpaper. I'm so glad that I took the jump and I did it. And I will order more. My moment of gratitude, it's twofold around birds. I'm sorry. But one is, the first is Sarah from Participant One, who is starting Pops of Joy podcast, did a run through with me. And she asked me about mine. And I did birds. And for somebody to ask me about that joy. Like her whole premise is, I don't want you to convince me to like what you like, but I want to understand how it brings you joy. And I've never talked about that. And it made me so happy to be asked these questions that I'd never been asked before. And she said the best thing at the end, which was, oh, that was nice. You made me hate it a little bit less. And I was like, that's the most I could ask for. That's wonderful.
As plug, Pops of Joy is the third Joyful Support Movement podcast that will be joining our network soon. And it's going to be hosted by Sarah, who is a participant from season one, about just the things that bring people joy and why they bring them joy. And maybe that's a bonus episode someday, because that's not even the episode that you're going to do. That was just a run through.
But it still made me happy. And on the bird note, I was sitting here in my office editing this morning, and out my window, which looks into my backyard, I saw this ginormous turkey, this female turkey in my backyard. I got super excited. I grabbed my phone and I was trying to get a picture of it, but turkeys don't stand still. She was moving and shaking through my yard. And then I just stopped and I went, who am I taking this picture for? Nobody gives a shit. And I honestly just laughed at myself. I was like, no one's going to be as excited about a turkey in my backyard as I am. So I just enjoyed the turkey. She was big. She would have challenged my dog for sure. Like, really big gal in a healthy way.
There's body neutrality here. All bodies are good bodies.
I hope she didn't poop back there, because my dog does love to roll in stinky poop. Oh. I should go check that, actually, now that I'm saying that out.
Oh.
So that's my joy.
I do get joy from you getting joy from birds. So even though I am not a bird person, I love your joy of birds. I gave Sarah a bird book for her birthday. I'm willing to lean into other people's joy. I just don't want to have to be a part of it. That's really what it's about.
And you've infiltrated that in my brain, because as I was taking the picture, I went to take the picture. I'm like, nobody else cares. And I'm like, that's okay. I enjoy it.
Yeah.
And then I was like, do I really want a picture of a turkey in my phone? I do not. So I didn't take the picture. That's the thing, is I don't take pictures of birds. So I don't know why I was about to start. Anywho, huh? Thank you for listening to my story.
I also want to take a minute that I think it's beautiful that you love birds and you got to have that moment. That moment would have been wasted on me, and you got to have that moment. So I am grateful for that. I think that is cool and wonderful, because I would have just looked out there and been like, oh my gosh, that's a big turkey. I don't want to go outside. Is that turkey going to hurt me? I don't even know what I would do if a wild turkey and I got in the same space. If there's geese, whew, I like get away from geese. I don't trust them. I don't like them. They're mean.
I'm with you on the geese. I have no desire to dwell on the presence of geese.
And they don't want you to either.
I know.
They would like us to all not with them. Just not. So.
Oh, anywho. Moments of gratitude.
Yeah.
Tyra episode 2. It's okay to be grumpy.
I can't believe we've already made it to third episodes with our participants. So we're going to wrap up Ashley's story next week. Whew. And it's going to be new to me, because I wasn't there for Ashley or Tyra's final one, because Lacey be sick. And so I'm excited to know what happens.
I'm editing and listening. And I, too, it's like I'm listening anew, because when I'm doing it, I'm participating. So I'm hearing it very differently. And then when I'm listening, it's a totally different view. View with your ears.
Perspective.
What's that called? Perspective. Thank you. I was like, we need Joe. What do you call it when you view something with your ears? Yes, I am enjoying it all over again. So all good stuff. I hope everyone else is enjoying it as much as we are.
Good. Great. Grand. Fantastic. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to No Shame in the Home Game. We hope you can take a little nugget of goodness to use in your own home. Remember to subscribe to the podcast in the player of your choice, like us on social media, rate and review, and share us with all of your friends, and maybe a couple of non-friends if you want. You can always visit joyfulsupportmovement.com to learn more about No Shame in the Home Game and other Joyful Support podcasts. While you're there, you can join the newsletter or sign up for the Joyful Support Village. Now go out there and spread some joy.